Lila, the advent of Lord Chaitanya is described. But in the third chapter, the meaning of his appearance is described. So I thought today we could read from the third chapter. I didn't have time to give a verse to be put on the board. There's a good verse. You can put it on the board for tomorrow, too. It's the third verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the important verses, which came from Swarup Damodar, the diary, and has been put in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It goes like this. Anarpita chirim chirat karuna avatir nakkalau samarpayatam unnatojvala rasam subhakti sriyam hari purata sundara duti kadamba sandipita sadarudaya kandare puratuvak sachinandana. May that Lord who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Now, in this third chapter, Krishna's Kaviraj tells about the appearance of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, when he appeared briefly, nature of his activities. And then he gives us a glimpse into the mind of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And he expresses Krishna's thoughts as to why he would like to appear as Lord Chaitanya. We'll read some of the verses and some of the purports. At the end of the Dwarpa Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with full paraphernalia of his eternal Rajadham. Next verse. Servitude, dasya, friendship, sakya, parental affection, vatsalya, and conjugal love, shringara, are the four transcendental mellows, rasas, by the devotees who cherish these four mellows. Lord Krishna is subdued. So it's important to understand about the rasas in relation to Lord Chaitanya's appearance, because he particularly came to teach the most advanced rasa, conjugal love. And that was demonstrated by Radha and Krishna. But there are five, and sometimes it's described as four, here it's described as four, transcendental mellows. Omitted in this verse is Shantaras. And always omitted in discussion of relationship with God is the Sayuja. Sayuja means to become one with the Absolute Truth, impersonal conception, giving up identity. That is never desired by the Vaishnava. Rather, Prabhananda Saraswati says that it's hellish. The kaivalya, so-called pleasure of merging with the one, if it means that you cannot render service to Krishna, that's considered hellish. But here, even the shanta is not mentioned. Because as soon as there's a little bit of understanding that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna and we want to serve him because he is great and we are small, and it's our constitutional nature to want to serve him and to be happy serving him, As soon as that begins to activate, then the shanta moves into dasya. So this verse considers dasya as the first stage of transcendental devotional service. And by these four transcendental mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. Next verse. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in Braja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus. For a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. Now, we're getting close to with this line of thinking by Lord Krishna to what he wanted to do and what he did as Lord Chaitanya. And then we can appreciate the unique contribution of Lord Chaitanya in God consciousness, even considering all different world religions and incarnations, avatars, sons of God, prophets, teachers, enlightened ones. For what Lord Chaitanya contributed is unique. Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Govatrishay Namah. Rupa Goswami prayed to him, "You're the most magnanimous incarnation of God because you're freely distributing what was never distributed before, what is very difficult to obtain, Krishna Prema, or the highest love of God," which means the exchange of the lover and beloved, pure devotion. Purport. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature, and thus become a devotee of the Lord, and worship him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Vrajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. Now, one point is that Krishna is thinking that people of the world will not get the benefit of my relationship with me as it is in Vraja. And yet we could say, but why is he thinking like that? He just appeared in that way. Why would there be any lacking? He displayed the whole Vraja pastimes. So Prabhupada has explained that sometimes by saying that people misunderstood Krishna, or that it was very difficult for people to accept that abhajananti mam mudha manasintanam asritam arambhav majananto mama bhutam hesparam. Because I appear as a human, people deride me, thinking I'm an ordinary human. They do not know my supreme dominion over all that be. So when Lord Chaitanya came, he taught the Braja pastimes. He taught about Radha and Krishna. He was himself the combination of Radha and Krishna, or he was Radharani. Or we could say he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, in separation from Krishna. So they're not different. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya are not different than the teachings of Lord Krishna. But the advantage was that he came as a devotee instead of as Krishna himself, and in that way was able to spread the teachings better, more easily, making them more accessible by propagating the Sankirtan. So this we have to understand, that it's not that Krishna was anything lacking in the Krishna's pastimes, but to present them in Kali Yuga, he saw fit to take the form of the devotee, Lord Chaitanya, and distribute them in that way. Because Lord Chaitanya then showed, I am feeling separation from Krishna. Krishna is my beloved. And I am feeling ecstasy by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he appeared as a sannyasi in the Vedic culture and traveled all over India. But because he was actually Krishna, he demonstrated the ecstasy that only Krishna himself could do, and some people recognized that. But even if people didn't recognize it, they could be introduced to the Hare Krishna mantra and start to practice pure love of God. So here the point is being made out that if you just follow the rules and regulations of your scripture and see God as a very distant figure, barely personal, and full of awe and reverence, that is, of course, far, far greater than materialistic life, which doesn't worship God in awe and reverence. But from God's point of view, there is much more to the relationship between God and the worshiper than going to the church or temple and comprehending a little bit of his majestic greatness and obeying his laws as good as those are for human life. There's much, much more. Because the tendency is one has his heart in a different place with his family and with different loving relationships. And he sometimes experiences some sublime moments meditating on God, or out of fear of God, he obeys the rules and regulations and moral principles. But when we understand that all your affection and all your devotion should be reposed in Krishna, and he's all attractive and he's ready to reciprocate with you in that way, then this is something much, much more than we've known in religion. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Well, nobody can introduce us to this except Krishna himself. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. These liberations are Sharshti, achieving opulences equal to those of the Lord, Swarupya, having a form the same as the Lord's, Samipya, living as a personal associate of the Lord, and Salokya, living on a Vaikuntha planet. Devotees never accept Sayuja, however, since that is oneness with Brahma. And Krishna is still thinking, I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. And from the purport to that verse, pure devotees do not ask anything from the Lord for their personal benefit. Even if offered personal benefits, pure devotees do not accept them because their only desire is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by transcendental loving service. No one but the Lord Himself can teach this highest form of devotional service. So the idea that God consciousness is so natural we don't need a teacher, that is a concoction. It's true that in our original state, it's natural that we love God and we don't have to be taught. But we are so covered over that we require very systematic training and education to learn this highest science, the highest knowledge. So at least we have to get the teaching in one form or another. That Krishna is going to do. Well, he'll send different empowered personalities. But he's thinking, I should teach, however, something more confidential, and I should do it in a very broad way so that everyone can do it. I should be more merciful than I ever have been, because this is not enough, the regular religion, as it's going on. They will not be able to enter personal dealings with me. But I will teach the way that it can be done. So we say to Prabhupada Pranam, Gauravani Pacharani, obeisances unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You are so kindly teaching the message or the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, although it's pure love, spontaneous love that he's propagating, there's a method of teaching it also. Not that it happens naturally. Or you just love any way you like, and that's love of God. But he'll teach how to enter this personal relationship with Krishna. That is what Srila Prabhupada taught, the Gauravani, which we follow in our temples or Krishna consciousness movement from morning till night. Therefore, when the Lord took the place of the incarnation of Kali Yuga to spread the glories of chanting Hare Krishna, the system of worship recommended in this age, he also distributed the process of devotional service performed on the platform of transcendental, spontaneous love. To teach the highest principles of spiritual life, the Lord himself appeared as a devotee in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And Krishna goes on thinking, unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. If I did not show the proper principles of religion, all these worlds would fall into ruin. I would be the cause of unwanted population and would spoil all these living beings. Whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. This is an unusual application of this verse, yad yad acharati shrestas tat tadevetaro janat. Slaya pramanam kurute lokas tadana vartate. What it means when Krishna speaks it, when he's anticipating that he'll appear as Lord Chaitanya, is that if I expect everyone to practice devotional service, then although I've already come as God to object of worship, to show them who they should worship, I haven't shown them personally how they should worship. I should do that too. I should come myself as a devotee and show how to worship Krishna in an intimate, loving way, free of all the regulative, materialistic religion. So if Krishna does that, then it will incite a flood of love of God and everyone will follow him. He says, my plenary portions can reestablish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Braja. There may be many all-auspicious incarnations of the personality of Godhead, but who, other than Lord Krishna, can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls. Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Thinking thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. So I can go on reading, but maybe I'll stop if there's any questions or comments at this point. Because what? Where did you say you heard that? I mean, I never heard half. What does it have? Half of Sakya. Different kinds of friends. So, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it, Prabhupada says it, I certainly agree with it, but I don't know what more I can say. Yeah, that's interesting to understand that certain, further understanding that certain rasas are in Krishna Loka only, and others are in the other Vaikunthas. Yes?
I had a question just on that same point. Just on his instructions, it's not the first one. He also discusses that area.
Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. One question that come to mind is if these higher rasas are so desirable, then and we are proven to be more superior, then what is our position individually? What can we do? One might say, what can we do to develop the higher rasa relationship? Also, we understand that we have an eternal rasa already with Krishna, it just has to be uncovered. And that whatever the rasa may be, one is satisfied with that. Although there is sometimes discussed some scope for raising oneself to the higher rasa. Of course, to begin with, we understand that we cannot speculate about our rasa. That's revealed only when we become completely free of material desire. However, as we're given these teachings in Prabhupada's purports, we should certainly pay attention to them, and as we're given the introduction to the rasa, as we are, of Radha Krishna worship, Radha Madan Mohan, we should aspire to this, because this is our spiritual legacy as followers of Lord Chaitanya. to worship Radha and Krishna as our worshipable deity. We don't worship Lakshmi Narayan. So in one sense, even from the beginning, we're introduced to this as this is our aspiration of the perfect worship, to assist Radha and Krishna in some way. Even now, when we distribute books, when we do whatever we do in the temple, we're assisting Srila Prabhupada, who's following the six Goswamis, we're assisting also in this activity. In the song we sing every day, we sing that I offer my obeisances to the spiritual master who's always engaged in assisting the gopis and Krishna. So we must be aspiring to some kind of connection to that also by all our activities. But we should think just that we're devotees, we're servants of our spiritual masters, and so long as we have material desires, we have to account for that and not overlook it. If we did that, that would be called prakriti sahajya, to ignore that we actually are still in so many ways conditioned and try to enter into the conjugal relationship of Radha Krishna. But taking account of our fallen state and at the same time taking all the mercy that's offered to us from the Prabhupada and six Goswamis, we can serve those who are serving in the rasa of Radha Krishna worship. And then, someday, some future life or whatever, more we may be given some other place, but never by our, simply by our mental attempt or anything like that. Well, I would try to explain in that way our being encouraged to discuss these topics and even to aspire to these things, but at the same time not go over our heads to a dangerous position. We have to be invited. We cannot, it's like if there's some intimate meeting or party, you have to be invited there. You don't just go because you heard about it. So we should perform, do our service as we're given, and then if Krishna likes, he can engage us further. Yes?
Just thinking as you're reading, this knowledge is so confidential, even so much more confidential even than what's given in the Bhagavatam. And one would think that if someone is sincere about trying to understand God, then welcome how such insights, welcome more is the knowledge of God.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We should, on one hand, we should appreciate whatever anyone's doing. There's a poem by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're just listening to this Amala Bhakti recording of Gitavali. In one poem, he says, a song, people, they worship God in different ways. He said, some close their eyes, some go down on their knees, and some... he describes like the different physical postures and ways that people worship God. He said, but actually they're all worshiping Sri Krishna. And so we should appreciate all the worshipers. Some even said worship him as impersonal, a Brahman. But it's all worship of Krishna. So we who are so fortunate, not by our own endeavor, but by the causeless mercy of pure devotees, that we have this insight, we know that the Supreme Lord himself has very confidential information that he wants to freely distribute, we should see that whoever is approaching him to any degree is approaching the same Lord. But then it's also our duty to try to distribute that more confidential information. And then, as you say, it proves to be very difficult because people are set, taking very seriously what they may have learned from their parents as they grow up in religion. It's, after all, they treasure it. It's religion. They treat it as sacred, their sacred book. So we don't want to try to smash that, that grain of faith that they have in this faithless world. But it takes somebody who is really searching for the truth without being attached to sectarian concepts. That's part of the difficulty of preaching. Part of it is that people are just materialistic, and part of it is that they follow religion also in a sectarian way. But we can try to encourage them within their religion, and those who are, Prabhupada used to say, chant any name of God. If you don't have a name of God, you chant with us, chant Hare Krishna, and learn about Krishna. He explained the mentality, though, of why one should be ready to hear the more intimate pastimes, even if it happens to be coming from something that doesn't, that you don't think of as your religious book. He said it's like in India, from his experience, we see too, so many people, they go from India to some other country to get better education. They go to England or America for technical education. He said, so those people who are trying to better themselves, they don't think, out of some nationalistic attachment, oh, I will only go to an Indian school because I'm Indian. No, they want to go wherever the school is in the world. They may even think, then I'll come back to India with this better education, then I'll better my country, and I'll certainly better myself. But we should want to better ourselves in God consciousness like that. So, therefore, some openness is very good. People, when people are open, Prabhupada even saw good in the, when he came to, in the, how everything was dissolving in the hippie movement and all kinds of alternative approaches and so much rejection. He saw the good in that, that people were willing to, they weren't attached to what their parents were doing. Rather, they almost wanted to reject it. But you have to have that, you have to be looking for the truth and not think, oh, that's a Hindu, that's from India. We don't want that. That's very narrow-minded. That's ignorance. As soon as somebody hears it's from a strange part of the world, or it's from the East, or it's not what I was brought up in, then I suspect it. No, listen to it. Compare it. As Krishnadas Kaviraj says, compare it with your logic and with your piety to what you understand as God and as religion. And if you do study Lord Chaitanya, you'll appreciate it very much. So this is increasing, and we have to give people more of a chance so that they, with all these difficulties in approaching Krishna consciousness, we help make it more approachable for them. That's our task as preachers. We know that Lord Chaitanya is the best, and this is the most confidential knowledge, and it's very relishable. So we have to try to help others to understand it also. Not that it's a threat to their religious sense. And people, they don't even believe. We say, you don't have to give up your religion. If you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, whatever, still you can take the Krishna consciousness. That's very hard for people to understand. Because they think, oh, wait a minute, you say that, but actually you want me to give up being Christian. You want me to give a payment? But we don't. We want you to become a pure devotee of God. And you can still keep whatever you have gained and still worship Krishna. Well, we shouldn't think that it's such an automatic thing that we're going to go to Goloka Vrindavan until we become completely pure. We may have to come back again and again to, and that will be all right too, if we can serve the devotees of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. One answer to your question, that's one answer, is that to go to Goloka Vrindavan, have to, not just because, well, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada. I was initiated in 1974, so I'm going to Goloka Vrindavan in about 30 years. That may be, Prabhupada said it could take place in a minute. It may not take place in millions of years. You have a connection. Now you have to enter the heart of that connection. So that at the time of death, you're actually thinking and want to go and only want to please. Then you can go. First desire, first deserve, then desire. Prabhupada said, someone may hear that there are desire trees in Goloka and he wants to enjoy them. But first you deserve, then you can desire to culpa vriksha. That's one answer. Another answer is that what you mentioned helps us to understand that that Vaikuntha is also very, very great. The Vaishnav scholars, they've told us how higher than Vaikuntha is the Krishna Loka, and sometimes they even use words like, say, contaminated, but contaminated by the Vaikuntha concept, or crippled by the concept of Narayan. So these are the true, extreme devotional statements of the followers of Radha Krishna. And as you say, that's our party. We belong to that party also. So we share that sentiment. I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. But on the other hand, there are very great Vaikuntha devotees, and there are devotees in the Shanta Rasa who also worship Krishna, honor Krishna, but they have a particular loving connection with Krishna. And so we see them as great devotees, as greater than ourselves, even though they may be in the Shanta Rasa or the Sakalya Rasa, and we aspire to worship Radha and Krishna. And don't forget that everyone, that those rasas, they're also in relation to Radha and Krishna in different ways also. Like the cowherd boys, they're maybe not so interested in Krishna and the gopis as they are in Krishna and themselves. But still, they have some part, especially some of them, like Subala. They help Krishna in his relations with the gopis. We should honor all living entities and all devotees, like some of them you mentioned, Narada Muni, Bhishma, Prahlad, Shukadeva Goswami. As far as I understand, Shukadeva Goswami is said to be in the Shanta Rasa. We learn the whole Bhagavatam from him. He knew all about the Madhurya Rasa. One time, Prabhupada, a disciple was asking Prabhupada, why would somebody worship Lord Vishnu? So he said, I can't exactly remember the words, but he said, she had her baby there. And he said, why do you love that baby and not another baby? So she
said, because she was given to me. Why you take care of that baby and not other? Because she was given to me? Prabhupada says, because you love her. So, similarly, they love Lord Vishnu. That's the real reason. We can't say it's because they have some defect. But it's love, and you can't change it. There were devotees of Lord Chaitanya, like Anupama, the younger brother of Rupa and Sanatana. He was a devotee of Lord Rama. And in the association of Rupa and Sanatana, they tried. They said, come on, chant Hare Krishna with us. We'll all be devotees of Krishna. We're your brothers. He tried, he couldn't. He said, please give me the blessings that I can be a devotee of Raghunath. I can't do this. I can't be a devotee of Krishna. But I recognize Lord Chaitanya as Rama. So Lord Chaitanya, he blessed him. You're so determined. You are a great devotee. So we honor these great Vaishnavas, wherever they may appear. And so just, it really makes you think how we don't deserve what we've been given such a blessing. We're just very fallen. But Lord Chaitanya, as he reveals, as Krishna reveals his mind, I'm going to give them the most intimate connection with me that's never been given before. We've appeared at a time to receive the greatest benediction, which we didn't deserve. And now we know, it's a fact, at least theoretically, we know what even some of the great Mahajans do not have as their central worship. We know. But it's only theoretical for us until we appreciate fully. It's a little baffling. You hear about the great devotees and how there are even greater devotees than them, and then greater devotees than them, greater devotees than them. So it's like that. We should never slight a Lord Shiva or a Bhishma Deva or anything. What are we compared to them?